May I invite us to Luke chapter 11 this morning for our public reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 11, and picking up in verses 37 to 54. So we'll be completing Luke 11 here this morning. Luke chapter 11, verse 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uttermost seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers, and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us. And he said, Woe unto you, ye lawyers! For ye laden men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with your own fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your father, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that are entering in ye hinder. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently to provoke him to speak many other things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they may accuse him. Wow. Please be seated and may God bless his word. Beloved, there's a whole lot here. Now, look at verse 54. I think verse 54 is a nutshell commentary to what you and I just heard in my reading. Look at verse 54. Laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. You know what's so funny? Church members act the same way. They come to church not to learn, but they come to church to pick apart the things that are about to be given to them through the preaching of God's word. They didn't come to learn. They came in order to find fault. And I see this in verse 37 and verse 45. It's quite evident that in this meeting with the Pharisee, of verse 37, and as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, now singular Pharisee, this one individual Pharisee marveled that Jesus had not first washed before dinner. And then verse 45 tells us that there was more than just Jesus and the Pharisee. Then answered one of the lawyers, plural, and said unto Jesus, Master, thou saying thou reproachest us also. So whatever Jesus says in verses 39 to 44, and what he's about to say in verse 46 to 52, was directed to a number of individuals who were also at this invitation to dine with Jesus. But I believe verse 54 is their motivation, why Jesus was invited. It's quite evident, beloved, that Jesus was not invited by the lawyers and this one Pharisee to learn anything from his lips. They were not there to learn anything about the kingdom of God. They did not come to have their sins exposed. They did not come in order for Jesus to reveal to them that they needed to put their faith and their trust in him and him alone, and not with their external religion. Notice that verse 38. The Pharisee automatically takes issue with Jesus because he didn't wash his hands before dinner. And the Pharisees, beloved, were sticklers on the externals. Just like many people in churches with that legalistic bent, they judge the length of someone's hair, they'll judge the hemline to someone's dress, or God forbid if they're wearing slacks. They'll home in on the externals. In this case, Jesus simply walked in, sat down like they did in that Oriental world, and wanted to eat. And then notice what Jesus says in verse 39. Now ye Pharisees, you may clean the outside of the cup and the platter. Man, all day, you make sure that the outside of the plates and the cups and the bowls and the glasses are all clean, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Notice, the Pharisee homed in on the fact that Jesus didn't wash his hands before sitting down to eat. Jesus, on the other hand, looks right into the very depths of their souls and makes a diagnosis that they're corrupt, they're depraved, and they're dark. Verse 40, ye fools, did not he that has made that which is without make that which is within also? And then verse 42, notice the externals. Woe unto you Pharisees, for you tied mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment, the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Notice Jesus says, oh, by the way, continue to tithe your cinnamon, your sugar, your tea leaves, your coffee. Yeah. But you left the more weightier matters, things that relate into that spiritual realm. Notice two things: justice and the love of God. The word judgment here implies justice. Okay? You're undoing the law of God by your ridiculous man-made traditions that give loopholes to certain people while you condemn and basically squash those who can't defend themselves. Verse 43, you love the best seats in the synagogue and you like to be saluted when you're out there shopping in the market. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now notice in verse 44, not only were there Pharisees, plural, scribes, plural, but lawyers, plural. So this Pharisee had a pretty good spread. He had a pretty good home to house that many visitors and that many guests. He calls them nothing but a cemetery. And when you go to a cemetery, if it's kept right, on the outside, it's pretty. It's beautiful to walk through. Read all the headstones, right? But dig deep, and what do you find? Dead men bones. And then the lawyers get all upset. And beloved, did you also catch something? Verses 46 to 52 reads just like Matthew 23, the second cleansing of the temple. Remember Jesus pronounces all the woes? It reads very similar here. And right now, Jesus is in a house. He's not in the temple. So notice, ready? Jesus repeated himself over again. Even nothing new and novel came out of his lips. He gave the same message to different audiences. How's that grab you? For those who don't like a pastor to repeat himself.
Be careful.
Be careful. Jesus is going to use the same words in Matthew 23. And then one other little ditty. Did you catch that? Verse 50. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, and in Matthew 23, he goes from Abel to Zacharias, shall be required of Jesus' own generation, not Jews living in Palestine today, not some future regathering of the nation. So notice, when and where was the hammer going to fall in that first century to this particular generation? And it did fall some 40 years after the ascension, A.D. 70. And then what do you find in verse 51? From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, not them, you, it shall be required of what generation? The one to whom Jesus was speaking. And then, woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Notice, beloved, there are some churches and some pastors and some denominations, they are robbing the key of knowledge from their own congregations and what they don't preach. Ye enter not in yourselves, so they're lost, and them that are entering in, you hinder. How much hindering goes on Sunday mornings across this country? What a false gospel, portraying a false Jesus, presenting a false spirit, and giving a false hope. Think on that. And notice which generation was going to get the hammer. Not anybody living today, but the ones who heard Jesus. And in this case, those who literally ate with him to their own demise. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.